At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
We have to see what they decide to do about Texas, but I think that the President of the United States encouraging Texas, Texas being willing to do this, should be an indicator to the rest of us that that if they're going to cheat, that's not a proper way to act, we're all going to have to band together to try to address that, at least to try to stop them by letting them know that if we were doing what they were doing, that in fact, we would counterbalance, indeed take control.
Well, if only every state could be like Illinois and be as fair as Illinois. Steve Cortez, Fox News contributor, former Trump campaign operative, is here to talk about that topic. Hey, Steve, how's it going?
Hey, Ryan, I'm great. Thank you for having me. And just by chance, I'm coming to your town tomorrow. I don't get to St. Louis that often, but I'm coming in for a wedding this weekend at St. Louis the King Basilica, so I'm excited to be there. Thanks for having me on the radio.
Oh my gosh, how coincidental. We didn't even know. So
yeah,
that's great. So let's talk about redistricting. I mean, this is one state we're standing in right now, Missouri. We live in Illinois. Brad and I and Annie live in Illinois, where they've already drawn the map about as partisan as you can.
Right.
But now other states are getting in on the act, like maybe Texas. Tell us what's going on with Texas.
Yeah, this is important. And by the way, I've lived in Illinois almost all my life. I finally fled because the crazies drove me out in 2020 from Chicago, which, you know, really went insane during the lockdowns and the riots and all that. So I know Illinois politics super well, still pay a ton of attention, even though I live in Tennessee now. And look, the Illinois map, which I've been posting on social media and a lot of other folks have, is an absurdity. OK, so the idea that Pritzker thinks we can do what you're doing, Texas. No, you already did it, Illinois. There is no more to be squeezed, no more juice to be squeezed out of that putrid, spoiled orange or lemon, okay? You drew as partisan a map, as ridiculous a map as you possibly could. And the primary district, by the way, the worst of all, I think, is right next to St. Louis, is the 13th Congressional District in Illinois. And what they did is, because all of downstate Illinois, probably most of your audience knows, all your audience knows, almost all of downstate Illinois basically is red. So to try to get one blue district out of there, what do? They drew this skinny little district that looks almost like a serpent, okay? And it stretches at the top. You know, what would be the mouth of the serpent is University of Illinois. So, you know, liberal campus area at U of I, like most big university towns, a lot of liberal professors and that sort of thing. So that's a blue dot on this, you know, red prairie of Illinois. It then stretches down and frankly disenfranchises a whole lot of salt-of-the-earth rural Americans who live in central and southern Illinois, and then it extends down and grabs East St. Louis. Why? Because East St. Louis is mostly black and a Democrat stronghold. So between the two ends of this ridiculous, you know, serpentine district, they're able to cobble together a Democrat majority in what, if anybody were drawing a reasonable map, would be a third Republican district down there. Instead, only two of the three of central and southern Illinois are Republican. So, you know, spare me the indignation and the righteousness from people like J.B. Pritzker, who forces thousands and thousands of people like me to leave his state, by the way, when he pretends that he's done something magnanimous and ethical, because the map, and by the way, it's just as bad if you micro in on the Chicago area. Some of the districts that are drawn there are ludicrous. Some of them spread from the Chicago lakefront, from some of the most urban parts of America, highly, highly dense, concentrated urban areas, all the way northwest, all the way southwest to the cornfields, which lie beyond the Chicago suburbs. And it makes no sense to draw a district that way. They're sort of similarly, you know, thin and long. So, look, the Democrats have been perfecting this game for a very long time. And the Republicans in the states that we control just simply haven't been nearly as gangster, haven't been as effective. And it's time for us to meet fire with fire, and particularly Texas and Florida, two states where Republicans have overwhelming control that frankly didn't draw really aggressive maps. My state of Tennessee did, by the way. Tennessee went from 7-2 Republican to 8-1 because they broke up Nashville effectively, which is a blue stronghold. But they did what the Democrats did in Illinois. They broke Nashville up essentially into three parts, connected them to Republican constituencies. And guess what? There's no blue representative, there's no Dem representative from Nashville. There's only one in the state of Tennessee from Memphis, which is solidly not too far from you guys, which is solidly Democrat. But they turned it 8-1. And these are the rules of the game. And by the way, I don't think those should be the rules. There's a lot of ways that we could draw maps where they're not gerrymandered at all, where you could literally have software do it in a sensible, smart way. I'd be all for that, just taking this whole game away from legislatures. But the reality is right now, this is the law. These are the rules. And when the Democrats, you know, show up to the fight and they come to the fight armed with a rusty shiv ready to put it in our bellies, and we show up and say, we're going to play by Marcus of Kingsbury rules and we're going to box you like gentlemen. No, that doesn't work. And thankfully, Republicans are waking up and saying, you know what, we've got to engage in some of these same practices as well in the states where we have earned control. That's the other thing. Look, we earned control just as Pritzker, okay, even though I can't stand him, he earned control of Illinois. He earned the right to manipulate the rules this way. It's legal what he's doing. It's scummy, but it's legal. Texas, Florida, some other states, Ohio, I think you've got to do the same and give us a fighting chance to maintain and hopefully even grow the House majority.
Steve, you're preaching the choir here because I actually live in that little snake district in Illinois. Okay. And yeah, it drives me crazy. But at the same time, I have to say, but these are the rules. And Illinois is playing by them at 100%. They've maxed it out. Right. They're going all the way. And now when I see people complaining that Texas might do the same thing, Florida might, Ohio, maybe Missouri. I'd love if Missouri did. I mean, we're in Missouri talking about it right now. But right. Texas, it looks like they're the ones that are on the precipice. Do you think that they're actually going to get out of the talk phase and get to the, yeah, we're doing it phase?
No, I do. I think they will. And I think Florida will as well. Ron DeSantis is in favor of it. His legislature is not as enthusiastic as the Texas one. So if I had to bet, I'd bet more on Texas. I'd bet a little less on Florida, but I would bet on both of them. I think the odds right now, if you were to make a betting market, are that both of them will do it. I'm not as confident on Missouri and Ohio, but they should. I think it's already kind of done the Illinois routine on the red side. They've squeezed everything they can. So I don't know that there are other states, but those two alone, Florida and Texas, are of course so populous and generally so red that you know it's possible we pick up 5 to 10 seats just from redistricting. And by the way, we have a legitimate reason outside of partisan politics to do this. There has been such mass movement since the census. The census was taken in 2020 during the panic. There were all kinds of problems with the census, even as it was recorded. But even if you take the census recording as accurate, which, you know, I don't, but if you were to accept it, even since then, 2021 was a year of massive movement around the country. People like me left Illinois. People poured into Tennessee and Texas and Florida, poured out of Massachusetts, New York, California, Illinois. And so we know that the populations have shifted significantly since then. As a matter of fact, I would go even a step further and say we need a new national census, which a lot of folks don't realize we could do. You have to do it every 10 years, but you are permitted to do it more often than that. I really would advocate for that, but that's a bigger lift. It's not such a big lift to get these states to act now. And remember, too, this isn't just about the midterms. It's also obviously about the presidential race, you know, that matters tremendously, because once we do get a national recount, whether that's soon or in 2030, you know, that will, of course, matter, too. And we know there's going to be beneficial shifts, you know, our way coming then. But in the near term, when we have a very small House majority, again, the Democrats have already done this. And when they threaten, oh, hey, we're going to do it, too, go ahead. See if you can draw a more Democrat map in Illinois. You won't be able to. You know, you were too good. And I'll give them almost, you know, a backhanded clap or, you know, backhanded compliment. You did such a good job that, again, there's no juice to squeeze out of that. If anything, you might screw it up a little bit, and maybe you tip a district our way if you try to mess with what you've already done, because it worked so well for the Democrats. I mean, and look, Democrats are evil, but they're not dumb. They drew a heck of a map in Illinois, and they were gangster about it, and we need to get that way. And it's important for our country. And again, bigger picture, folks out there saying, well, you sound kind of crass and cynical. I would love it if we had different rules. And there's a lot of good proposals out there, a lot of, you know, sort of academic proposals of, hey, this is how we should draw districts. I'm all for those sensible reforms if we can ever get there. But we're a long way from that. And under the current rules, the Democrats are playing the game, you know, like they are pros, and we're playing the game like we're a high school team right now, even a high school JV team in some of these states. All right, it's time to up our game. Let's match those pros. Let's go eye to eye with them. Let's use their tactics in terms of districting. And again, too, outside of the politics, we also have a very good justification for doing this, because even within states, there was a lot of movements. The great sorting, you know, really mattered. But certainly between states, you know, for example, my own district, I bet you in Tennessee, so many people have moved in. It's probably too big now for one representative. You know what I mean? So like probably some of our districts should move and people into other districts that are a bit more rural. Well, that's the case in many parts of America. And so it makes sense from a logic standpoint. It's allowed legally. The Dems have done it everywhere. We have a very thin majority that we must maintain. You know, remember this, if it becomes a speaker, Hakeem Jeffries, if he gets that gavel, he's going to impeach Donald Trump. And you might say, well, he has no reason to. He doesn't need a reason. Okay. The reason will be they hate Trump. He'll do it again. It'll be a third sham impeachment. And we don't want to be tied up with that nonsense as a country for the last 2 years of Trump's term. Instead, let's make sure the Republicans at least maintain their majority, if not grow their majority. And this would be a big part. This reform would be a big part of getting there.
Steve Cortez, Fox News contributor and former Trump campaign operative with us. And you mentioned Florida. Ron DeSantis in the last 24 hours has said that he would like to see a national census before 2030. So I don't know whether that's outside the realm of possibility, but seeing these states do this, It's exactly like you're saying. It's like watching Republicans catch up to the game. They've been out of it for so long. They're going, oh, wait, we can actually play, you know, we can do this too. I didn't even realize that, but they're doing it mid-decade. Is that something that has ever been done before? Is that the new part of this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know for certain. It certainly has not been done in recent history. That I know. I don't know if it's ever been done. It's a good question. I'll have to. You give me some homework to do now. But also, you know, regarding the national census, the other reason to do a national census is not just because of the COVID pandemic that made it, I think, almost impossible to get a national count, but it's also that we counted illegals then. And look, this is a highly contested issue, clearly, of, you know, whether or not we should count illegals, because the Constitution does say count persons, right? It didn't say citizens. Now, I think it's clear that it was assumed that they meant legal citizens, or at least legal residents of the United States, the founding fathers. But the point is, we can have that debate, and I think we should. But in 2020, all the illegals were counted, all of them. And in states like California, that really, really matters. It matters a lot in Illinois, for that matter, with all the illegals that are poured into the state of Illinois. So I would advocate not only a new national census, but that we do it without counting illegals. It'll be tested in court for sure. I think it would quickly go to the Supreme Court. But let's have that argument. Let's make that fight of why should illegals count. And if we win and we do another census and we don't count the illegals, California is going to lose several seats at least. And that would be huge for reapportionment, as we're talking about. You do that in combination with redistricting in these states, and now all of a sudden you're talking about, even if sort of nothing changes politically, we're just roughly where we are right now in terms of partisan breakdown. I mean, you could be looking at the Republicans winning 20 seats, something like that. But for reasons of principle, because I don't think we should be counting illegals, as well as political advantage, I think, yes, absolutely to state redistricting. I think that's a relatively easy lift. And then let's also be serious about national census, about doing another one. Again, the Constitution does not preclude that. You have to do it every 10 years. It does not say you can't do it more frequently. And we have good reasons to do it again.
Well, Steve Cortez, always, always love when you're on the Annie Fry Show. I know Annie does too. She's got laryngitis right now, so she's out for the day. But come back soon. Really, we'd love to have you.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm really excited to be in your city this weekend.
Yeah. Maybe we'll run into each other at the grocery store, too.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Steve Cortez, Fox News contributor, former Trump campaign operative. You know, if we had more time, there's one more thing that I pulled up here that I was going to mention. I follow, of course, I'm a polls guy. I follow one of the top pollsters for Is it Smartmatic, or is that the voting machine? It's something
Smartmatic
smart
is the
something.
The voting machine.
But it's the top poll that NBC had used for years. I'd have to look up the name of it. I probably could real quick here. And he is a lefty. I mean, he's a hard lefty. And he said this yesterday in light of the possibility that that Texas might actually redraw its districts, which I really am on record saying I didn't think they'd do it. They still haven't done it, but they're getting closer. He says, so in a state where Trump won 56% of the vote, the GOP is ramming through a map that would give them just under 80% of the U.S. House seats. They are terrified of facing the wrath of the electorate, so they are doing everything they can to blunt it. Here's the problem with the logic of saying, well, if 56% of the state is Republican, then only 56% of the seats should be Republican. It's because states like Illinois get brought up a lot. But here's a crazy one that doesn't get brought up very often. Maryland. Do you know the percentage of voters in Maryland that voted for Trump? It was around 35 to 40%. It's a blue state for sure.
Yeah.
Do you know the percentage of House seats that are Republican? Of those, you know, 40% should then, by his logic, 40% of the seats in Maryland should be held by GOP.
I bet you it's like 3%.
It's 0%.
No Republicans.
They have gerrymandered Republicans completely out of any House seats in Maryland. So it is so, and this is what drives me crazy is the hypocrisy. It's so disingenuous, especially for somebody who knows this topic. If you don't really know it, and you're like, ah, I can't believe they're going to do that. I'm mad because they're going to add Republican seats. Well, somebody comes back and says, what about Illinois? What about Maryland? By your own argument, it doesn't make any sense that you should be not attacking states like that. So it just bothers me when people who should know, and definitely do know better, cherry pick these little things to benefit their side instead of saying it like it is.
Did you see the map that Gavin Newsom posted? He said these are all the gerrymandered states, and one of them was West Virginia. Do you know how many congressional districts West Virginia has?
Is it two?
Two.
So I did see that map to answer your question,
yes.
And I clicked on that map, and there was no source.
No.
It was like a map that somebody took online and just colored in with paint and said, these are the states that I think are bad. There was nothing. There was no type on it, no tiny type. It didn't have a link. It really did look like Gavin Newsom went into Microsoft Paint and just made up a map that he decided he thought was bad. I people were criticizing him like, ooh, neat, you have the color green, because that's what he colored in these random states with. Again, this is a topic that I think is very, very important. It'll affect the balance of power. And Texas is being, they are being bold right
yes,
now.
Yes, and there are some famous congressional people that'll lose their seat, Al Green being one of them.
Yes. Texas, Florida, Ohio. Man, Missouri. Missouri, are you listening? You need to get on board here. This is really the only fair way to do it.
They would do it to you.
Yes, they would. They
would
have done it to you.
100% do it to you.
They have done it to you. This is the only fair way, is that everybody maxes out the current system, because if only some people are, then it's imbalanced. Lo and behold. All right, stick around. We got Irfan's Blurts coming up next. It's the Manny Fry Show. Ryan Wiggins, Brad Range, Ethan Hanford filling in for Annie. And again, hoping she will be back tomorrow. She just doesn't have a voice. I don't think she's sick. She just can't talk.
And she's sick of you.
You need a voice to talk. I'm just going to barrel through that. I was really hoping
that's
she would be
host.
Here today, because this is one of my favorite opens that I've ever made for Ethan's segment. And I really wanted Annie to participate in that. But she's not here, and I got to play it anyway. So, Ethan, here you go.
Hold, 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 hold up. Check it out.
Sports and local.
Durfin Donifird's Dumpy Doo.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
I love how much he gets into it.
The voice guy?
Yes.
So, is your mindset here? Because it seems like, you know, we've been doing this now for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And it feels like the farther into it we get, the more it becomes just gibberish.
Yeah.
It's that's like, my favorite one I've ever made, guys.
Ryan's instructions just say scat into the mic.
It's just syllables that sound a little bit like the original
Durfin.
One.
Can you play it again?
Yeah, I guess so. Hang on. Here we go. All right.
Check it out. Sports and local.
Durf and Donaford's Dumpy Doos.
I can't even tell you why it's funny. It just makes me laugh.
Well, I had to write it down. That's why I needed to hear it again, because there's no way I had that after the first try. Durf and Donaford's Dumpy Doos. You actually typed that on a script?
I know.
You're unbelievable.
He didn't even comment. He's just like, here you go.
He's a professional.
All right, thanks.
Wow. Okay, well, I guess I have to try and talk about stuff now.
Yeah.
Poor me. Listen, for us baseball fans out there, it is one of the most exciting times of the year.
This is not the Super Bowl, but it's close.
Well, the Super Bowl's football, Ryan.
Didn't know that.
It'd be the World Series for baseball. But it is the trade deadline. And baseball traditionally has had pretty crazy trade deadlines. There's a lot of action that happens, more than I would say most sports. So the Cardinals, unfortunately not being the competitor that, well, I don't know if people hope they'd be a competitor or not this year. They haven't been very good this year, unfortunately, to
would
the point.
Would you say that they are a very, very high competitor in the hot stove league?
The Cardinals?
What? I don't even know what you're trying to ask.
I'm not sure either. Why don't you just keep going?
He's like, hot stove, that's a baseball word. Use that.
I kind of did do that.
So the Cardinals, it became kind of clear within the last week or two that they were going to be selling at the trade deadline. They had several guys that were on expiring contracts that it was pretty obvious they were not going to try and re-sign, the most notable one being their closer, Ryan Helsley, the 2024 National League Relief Pitcher of the Year.
That guy went quick.
So yesterday, Helsley got traded to the New York Mets, and the Cardinals got a few prospects back. And just if you're not familiar with Ryan Helsley and how big of a piece this is to move on from, last year Helsley broke the franchise record for total saves, 49 saves in 53 opportunities, which is pretty impressive. So the Cardinals move on from their full-time closer. He had also been the longest tenured Cardinal. They drafted him back in 2015, now he is a New York Met. In return, the Cardinals get several prospects, including Jesus Baez, Nate Dom, and Frank Ellisalt. Frank Dom, D-O-H-M. Dom, okay. Dom.
What's the analysis of these guys? Do they get something good in return?
So, I'm not going to go super deep into this.
Is it good?
It feels like a pretty good return. The thing about Helsley, right, is because he is going to be he's going to be a free agent this upcoming season, is you're only guaranteed to be trading for him for a half of a season, for a playoff run, basically. So maybe some other guys out there that you have a little bit more control over, you'd have them for a couple more years, they'd be a little bit more valuable. So for what the Mets are getting, a lot of people seem pretty happy with the return the Cardinals got. Baez enters the Cardinals system as their sixth-ranked prospect, Dom as their 15th, and Ellisalt is not ranked. All these guys are still in the low levels of the minor leagues. They're all in single A still, so it's going to take them a little while to get to this level. But we know that the Cardinals traditionally have been a team that's been, a lot of their success comes from their minor leagues and how they're able to develop. And that's been an area of the Cardinals that has not worked for a while now. So this feels very much so like a, let's try and build up the minor league system again with this deal. So hopefully these guys end up panning out.
When you say a little while, what are we looking at?
Man, it's so hard to know, right? Because every player's time for development is different.
How long until they're in the majors?
I would not expect any of these guys to be up in 2026. Perhaps if one of them is on a faster track, we could see one of them in 27. You're probably looking more realistic at 2028, if I had to guess for some of these guys.
If you are wrong about this, is your career over?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
The Cardinals historically had been a team that was slow to bring up prospects. Is that correct?
No,
but
they're
a little bit faster now about that?
Not necessarily. They have traditionally, I think, done things in a very conservative fashion. They've never been that team to go out and do the crazy thing or jump to the conclusion. A conservative organization as a whole is how I would word that.
That's the big trade. I saw that yesterday night. I was kind of interested to see what you said about the prospects because I hadn't really looked it up. But mm-hmm. Anything else happened during the show today? Because I know we're getting close here.
So last thing I'll say real quick about them is Baez is a third baseman, can play the middle infield. The other two are pitchers and strikeout pitchers, which is good. The Cardinals need more of those. As far as the other trade that happened last night, Steven Matz got traded to the Boston Red Sox for Blaze Jordan. He was the number 17 prospect in Boston's system. He's now our number 19 prospect. A power guy. This is a guy that a lot of people say there's a lot of upside to. He's a first baseman, third baseman, and we'll see what happens with him. He's going to be in AAA now, so he's a little bit closer to the majors. Has been a bigger name prospect at times during his career. He needed a new scene, so I think the Cardinals are hoping that he's going to be someone that can bring some promise here, maybe even by the end of this year or potentially next season. Those are the two trades the Cardinals have made up to this point. They're still expected to trade another relief pitcher in Phil Maton here in the next couple of hours. The deadline is at 5 o'clock Central Time. They're not expected to trade any of their big-name guys. Doesn't look like Nolan Arenado's going anywhere or Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras. So it looks like they're going to just be sticking with just these three guys.
No trade clauses? Is that what's holding that up? Or?
Mostly. That's mostly what's holding those up, as well as those are some big contracts, so people would have to be paying a lot of money to those guys.
Publicly, they're going to say, well, we're just trying to contend for next season. But is that the goal? Like, now that you've seen what they're trying to do, are they intending to be a playoff contender in 26?
Going into 2025, I genuinely believe that was their goal, was
26.
26. I think that, unfortunately, that's probably been pushed back to 27 because so many of their bigger named prospects in the minors, specifically pitching, have dealt with a lot of injuries this year. So their development has been pushed back. So guys that they thought would be able to contribute next season probably aren't going to be able to as well. So we're probably looking more realistically at 2027 for the Cardinals being a legitimate contender.
I mean, I don't like to hear that, but that's an honest answer. So
it's and the thing that sucks is that, like I said, it's in large part because of injuries, right? It's not like it's been a poor handling of anything, It's an uncontrollable. So we'll see what happens this offseason. John Mozeliak, his final trade deadline, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, will be taken over by a new guy, Chaim Bloom, in the offseason. So who knows what he'll end up doing and what the team could look like in 26.
That's the big change for 26, right?
Huge change. And it's a reason why we're seeing the Cardinals really only trading these three guys probably is because there's kind of a there's not one leader right now. It's a transition right now.
You are good to have on days like this, man. I give you a lot of hard times about everything, but you're really good at this.
Thank you.
So thank you for that report. It is 2:34, and we have a couple segments left before we get to the Mark Reardon Show. Guess who's coming in next? It's Trisha, because it's Thursday. It's time for Annie, Are You Okay? And I am going to tell you how Annie would feel about all these stories. I was genuinely praising Ethan at the end of the last segment.
No, you weren't.
Are you really? That was what I was going to ask you, because Annie gets on here and says, he's good every day, Ryan. As if I were saying to you, yeah, you did a good job today, but most days. And I was genuinely trying to tell you do a good job. I wanted to know if you took it that way.
It's fine. I believe you now, but I'm not going to lie. I did wallow in self-pity a little bit during that last commercial
great.
Break.
We're back to this.
Don't wallow.
We're back to everybody joking. And I was just trying to have a tender heart to heart, as I do pretty frequently.
Here's the problem, Ryan. No one ever believes you when you do that, because when you tend to do it, it tends to be fake.
Trust is earned. Yeah.
I've been with you guys for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I guess You burn a bridge enough and nobody wants to walk over it. You're probably right. All right, it's time for...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Annie, are you okay?
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, Trisha. Annie on the chat. Firefighters rescue cow from Oklahoma swimming pool. Firefighters in Oklahoma were called to a resident's home where a wayward cow had wandered onto the property and plunged into the backyard swimming pool. While I was getting my coffee, my wife said, "Gordon, there's a cow in the yard," the homeowner said. The cow soon found its way into the couple's 4-foot-deep above-ground pool. Firefighters arrived soon after. They used some chains and a truck winch to escort the cow back to dry land. Annie, are you okay with cows swimming in residential pools?
Annie is fine with that. I have to ask, though, how did the cow get... I know somebody who... Hey, Annie just tuned in on the live chat. She can just nod yes or no. And she says no, she's not okay.
I still think that even though she's here, that Ryan should answer for her.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
Don't worry.
All right.
But I just had a family member install a pool, and they went through the whole process with the city and the county and the state and the federal government and the international courts where they had to get a fence around the pool. Like, it's a mandatory law that you have to fence in your pool.
Did they live in Oklahoma?
No. I thought this was everywhere.
That's maybe a very not specific question.
Rural Oklahoma, maybe they don't have to have a fence around their pool.
Fences don't always stop cows.
Or was it like the cow jumping over the moon?
The cow may have jumped over the moon fence.
Oh.
Into the 4-foot deep. The above ground pool part is what got me here. But
yeah,
you say Annie's okay with cows swimming in.
Yep.
Cool.
Was it one of the...
You're done. Okay. North Carolina gamer shocked by lightning while live streaming. A Twitch content creator in North Carolina was recently shocked by lightning in front of a live online audience. Christian Howard, also known as Crispy Mate, is seen in his computer when his webcam glitches.
Christian Howard. Oh, Crispy Mate.
Crispy Mate, that's the one. He then quickly removes his headphones, throwing them to the ground as he jumps out of his chair. He explained the sensation. Imagine you're in the front row of a heavy metal concert and the drummer just hits one good beat and the bass hits really well. Imagine that in both of your ears. But then also, somebody asks you to pull a gum stick gag toy, and you get that little zap.
Wow.
Annie,
very specific.
Are you okay with gum stick gag toys?
No. No. She wants real gum.
Annie does love gum and chewing.
Mm-hmm. Big
she
fan.
She loves it when other people big chew fan. Gum.
Yeah, the minute you started doing a gum story, I'm like, oh, Annie is going to love this.
Yeah, her favorite.
She said if she were queen for a day, she would make it mandatory that everybody chews gum.
That's one of the things that she said.
She for sure said that.
Whenever I'm trying to find a topic for Wiggins America, and I'm just like, gosh, I got nothing. I just type in gum, and then I hit news. And just see what comes up, because I know
every time.
If I just mention it, she'll just go, you know, the whole segment.
For the many
facts of that, are you freaking cool? Yeah, good job. Good job.
You're done.
I'm leaving.
Gen Z are celebrating Halloween in July as new spooky holiday goes viral. Summerween, a new holiday inspired by an episode of a Disney cartoon.
That sounds dirty.
Has gained popularity. celebrated in the summer months. Summerween. I can't even with you.
Not mature enough for this conversation.
Features Halloween motifs with a seasonal twist, such as carving melons or pumpkins instead. Or pineapples instead of pumpkins.
We said it's dirty and then you go to melons.
I know. I heard it as soon as it came out. Brands have embraced the trend with themed collections. Annie, are you okay with cartoons?
Yep.
Only if they involve melons.
She says yes via me and online. She also says yes.
Wow.
Sometimes those things coming don't together. Always match up, but in this instance, they did.
Victory.
All right, this is the last one.
Okay.
High Noon Recall warns that certain Celsius energy drink cans may mistakenly contain alcohol.
Does anybody drink energy drinks in this room?
Yeah, from time to time.
Do you guys?
Yeah.
I never, ever do. I'm so afraid of them.
Brad and Ethan raised their hands.
Yes.
Just had to clarify that.
You should say something.
We raised our hands. Like,
Ethan
all the people could see us.
I would prefer a cup of coffee or you know, an iced coffee or something like that.
Me
but
too.
Sometimes, if there's nothing else, they've got Celsius in the kiosk.
To-go market.
There. So, yeah. So this is interesting to me.
Calling it a labeling error, High Noon Vodka Seltzer has voluntarily issued a recall after certain packages of High Noon Beach Variety 12-pack cans were sent out containing Celsius Astro Vibe and Sparkling Blue Raz Edition cans. The recall was initiated after a packaging supplier error allowed for empty cans of Celsius to be mistakenly shipped to High Noon, where they were then filled with the brand's signature vodka seltzer. Annie, are you okay with High Noon Beach Variety?
Yeah. Yep. She didn't even respond. I was waiting for her because I don't know. I don't even know how to make that funny. Oh, she says never had it. She's shrugging. We're all just shrugging.
Indifferent.
You suck at this.
Indifferent. Oh, I'm terrible at this. I'm only good at it when I can make fun of it.
What about you? I mean, you're a White Claw guy, but how do you feel about the seltzers?
You like White Claws?
Specifically the beach variety.
Oh, great. This is not... You're new to this? This is a old, historic Annie Fry lore that apparently everywhere I go, I'm always holding the White Claw, and I got a sideways visor on, and I got my glasses flipped up or whatever, and none of it's true. I've had one White Claw one time, and it's become this whole thing, and now I guess it's back.
But that other stuff was true with the visor and the glasses.
Do I believe you or Annie Fry saying that you are a huge White Claw fan?
Look, what she's saying right now is also technically true.
Which is, and a fanny pack that says Celebrate Becky on it.
I do have a fanny pack that says Celebrate Becky. I do have that. And yes, I wore it to Disney with the crew when we went.
Why?
Because it was the only fanny pack I had. You need one to go to the theme park.
I think he's asking.
Okay, look, some of that's true. But it doesn't mean that it's who I am as a person.
Trisha, if I happen to bring a...
Well, that went about as well as it could have, except for the part where you made fun of me.
I'm leaving.
All right. Almost done. We'll be right back. You're getting a visual feast if you're on the stream right now. And I'm not even going to tell you why. You just got to log in to see, because it's pictures of mostly me. Posted by Annie in there.
It's pictures of most of you.
They're pictures of me doing things that I figured I would regret later and do. Annie, are you going to be back tomorrow? Yes or no? She says she's not sure. She's on the live stream. She still can't talk. And we still can't hear you, even if you are talking. because of my foray into the fast food world the last couple days...
You're picking fights with fast food companies.
People have said that they either love that I'm frugal or they hate that I'm cheap. And I don't really know always the difference between the two. So I've got this article here from moneyrates.com that says the difference between frugal and cheap. Here's the signs to watch for.
Power through, Ryan.
Pressuring people for freebies. That would be the first one. If you pressure people for freebies, then you are probably cheap, not just frugal.
So like when you go in with a coupon saying that, hey, I should be able to get this, and they're like, that's not on the list.
Right? I don't,
but you didn't show me the list.
I wouldn't say that that would fall into that category. I would say that was just following the rules, not asking to break the rules.
You were asking to break the rules.
No, I was not. I asked them if I could have those sandwiches, and they said they're not on the list. And I said, I didn't even know there was a list.
And they're like, here's the list.
And they said, here's the list. And I said, no, thank you. And I left. How about stealing? That one's on this list. Sometimes in their zeal to save a buck, individuals go from breaking the rules to breaking the law. They may borrow their neighbor's Wi-Fi, watch pirated movies online, or even cheat on their taxes. These things not only mean you are cheap, but they can also, particularly in the case of cheating on your taxes, do more harm to your finances than help them. Yeah, I would say that that is a sign of being cheap if you're willing to steal.
Well, they define stealing a little bit differently than some people would, because people would say, oh, no, that's not stealing.
You know what drives me crazy is the videos that you're seeing online now of people just boldly stealing things from stores. I just saw one of these this morning. A girl steals something from a store, attempts to run out of the store, and this is probably in a metropolitan area, because I don't see this here as much, like a big metropolis, where they have a button, they just hit, boom, and they locks the door. And then the person who stole is just stuck. And she's yelling, like, open the door, open the door. And he's like, no, you just stole. And she's like, no, I didn't. I can't even get out. And I guess that's technically true.
Put it back.
But calling the authorities and saying, come get this person they tried to steal from me. And them denying it. But they're right there. It's like, you're so bold in your thievery that you can't even admit that you're right on camera trying to steal. Failing to leave a tip. You can debate the merits of tipping the garbage man or teen working the ice cream stand, but there's no question that giving a tip to a restaurant servers who typically earn a mere $2.13 an hour, that can't be
no,
true.
No, that's not right.
That's got to be really
like $3.14 or something.
Is expected the norm. Is there a line here where, for me, it's if I'm standing to order, I've kind of adopted that. If I'm standing up and I'm ordering, why would I tip?
What if you stand up to order and then you go sit down and they bring the food to you?
I don't know. I would still say no.
Like, I think of like Edley, Sugarfire, they're kind of like that. You stand up to order,
it's kind of
and
a
then
mix,
you go and then you sit down and they bring it over
What's
to you.
What's your rule? Do you have one?
Yeah, if I stand up to order and I take care of them, I take my tray back and all that other stuff, then yes. But if there's a server of some type where they bring it out to me, I also tip at the coffee shop.
Do you ever go to buffets and tip at a buffet?
I don't go to buffets.
But if you go up to the buffet.
No.
But they bring you your drink.
No.
You know, there's still a server. So that's where it gets a little.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Ethan missed most of these, and he does most of these.
I love that you just assume that.
Hoarding. If you can't bear to part with broken items because they might be useful someday, you might be cheap. Some people are so cheap that they don't want to spend money ever on anything, so they save everything.
And you're saying I do that?
No, I don't know. I'm asking you.
No, I do not hoard.
I do not hoard either. I can't say I never hoard anything.
I got a big old tote right now that's been sitting in my room for several months that I'm like, can we get rid of this stuff? And the wife just, she hasn't done it yet.
Tell me if this is hoarding. I will get a new item or whatever, and I won't throw the box away. I'll unbox it, and I'll get the item installed, usually electronic of some sort, and I set the box out in the garage, and then I'm like, I'll throw that away once we're sure that everything's working so I don't need to return it. And then I just don't because
I forget. Plus, you never know if you can get in the box and be pushed around in it for fun.
I don't feel like that, but that's a good point. But I just don't fit inside flat screen TV boxes.
Ryan, did you ever go through any point where your kids were more excited about the box than what they actually got for like Christmas or birthdays?
Yeah, for a little bit. But generally speaking, none of us go through phases because we don't grow as people. Not paying your fair share when you... Do you conveniently forget to have cash every time you go out with friends? You're in this. We're past this, but there was a phase that I know whenever we'd go out, you'd have a couple friends who were like, you guys got me on this one. And you'd think I was that guy, but I was not that guy.
You were definitely that guy.
I was not that guy, but have you
when
ever
you
met
were 16?
Guy? Well, maybe. Maybe when I was 16.
I may have done this a time or two when I was in high school. early high school.
Was it just to not pay, or was it because you forgot?
Probably a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
If I'm being honest.
So you forgot on purpose.
I had a really good friend whenever I was in high school, and he didn't have a lot of money. So I would always force him to come along and pay for his food just because we liked hanging out with him. But never had friends that were really like, no, I don't have any money. Oh, I forgot my wallet.
Of course, you look great in that story. Let's just end that topic right now before Brad comes off looking like the king of the world. YouTube live chat poll. Should Missouri redraw its congressional districts to be more favorable to Republicans? Yes, now. Yes, after the next census, or no? We haven't really answered this question ourselves. Brad, you go ahead first.
Yeah, I'm a big yes and right now fan. That's how I vote in the poll. That's what I would vote. I would encourage you, if you are a Missouri representative, do this, because I've said this earlier in the show, if the roles were flipped, the Democrats would do it to you. And Steve Cortez said, get gangster about it. And I'm down with that. Get gangster about it. Go for the win.
Yeah, I'm a yes now too. Simply because, A, I didn't know it was possible to do it in the middle of a decade.
You can do that?
When Texas started talking about this, and it was kind of part of the fringe news, and you're like, eh, is that really going to happen? And now it's part of the actual news. You're like, oh, that's a real thing. I would love to see Missouri do this. I just don't think that we have people in charge right now that would push it through. But hey, even if you don't do it now, do it later. Do it after the next census. What's the results of the poll, Ethan?
Never thought I'd hear Brad say the word gangster. 214 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Should Missouri redraw its congressional districts to be more favorable to Republicans? 14% say no. 21% say yes after the census. And an overwhelming majority, 66%, say yes right now.
There you go. 66% say yes. Let's do it now, Missouri. All right. Hopefully the right people are listening. Mark Reardon Show coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.